So I wanted to share for a couple minutes, and actually it's going to be a couple minutes. So someone start the timer. Say with me, let's go.
Let's go.
So one of the things that we have promised, that Pastor Jeff and I have promised, is as things unfold, we want to unfold it to you all as well. So that's why the Monday night meetings once a month are going to be really important just to stay a part of, because this isn't just what we are doing, it's what we are doing. Okay, so it's not, hey, I love what Pastor Jeff and Mike. No, it's we, right? And so one of the things that Pastor Jeff and I are committed to, and you're going to hear more about this, is this thing called Zealots. Last weekend, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, Friday night from 6 to 9, Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday 9 to 5, ten of us gathered. Six people went through the Zealots, because Zealots is not a program. I want to kind of take a few moments and explain. This is going to be a component that we're going to be engaging in to fulfill 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Ephesians chapter 4. Because Pastor Jeff and I believe that every part of the body has a purpose. Every part of the body has got to understand their purpose. But what I have discovered in my many years of ministry, what has taken place too much in the church, is that church has become a place where we go to, sit, listen, and go home. Those days are over. They should never have been, actually. Those days are over because every one of us have a part. Pastor Jeff and I do not have all the parts of the body, just the two of us. We have a part, but we are only a part. You all are needed and necessary. Every one of you. What I've discovered in 30 years of ministry as well is that most Christians, in my experience, don't know what their part is. They don't understand. Well, what if I don't like teaching kids? What if I don't play an instrument? What if I don't like to teach? Well, that's pretty much it. That's about the options. You can do a women's ministry, a men's ministry, or a youth. But what if you don't fit there? What do you do? Well, maybe you can run the coffee bar, or maybe you can be a greeter. We're trying to find fitting instead of understanding that God has already created you to fit. But we've got to open up this idea that the body of Christ is more than the Sunday experience. It's an important, but it's more than that. So 1 Corinthians 12, that God fits the body just as he sees fit for his glory. So Zealots is a component that we are leaning into strongly, so much that this is the first time in my 30 years of ministry that I have missed Sunday services other than a vacation, that six of us gathered in our home and we're training people to be the body of Christ. And there's four threads that tie this together. And I'm just going to share it real quick. Four threads that tie it together. First of all, it's freeing. F-R-E-E. Guys, do you have it up there? Do you have the freeing thing? Do you have the bullet points? Say it with me. Freeing.
Freeing.
Genesis chapter 1, God said to Adam and Eve, go throughout the earth and subdue it. Go. You're free. Take over. And what happened in Genesis 11 when the earth was full of sin is that instead of going, they all collected. They want to speak the same language. We want to build a tower. We want to build the buildings. We want to all gather together and we all look alike, act alike, talk alike. Dear ones, God created us to be free, to know who we are in him and be an expression of him to the world. I'm going to say something to you all, and this might be difficult to hear, but I got to say it to you. People are not coming to church anymore. Sorry. I was raised in the generation where what families did, every Sunday you go to church. And there are a few families that still do this, but studies are showing between 60 to 80% of people just don't go. And what has happened is the church in America, we fight over the 20 to 40% that do go, and how we have done it is, well, we're going to have a better program than the other guy down the road because we want that 40% or 20% to come to our church, so we got to have a better program. But dear ones, we're not reaching the lost. It's just not happening. Can we just be honest about that? Are you guys okay?
Yeah.
You might have to grieve a little bit, but that's okay. Because Jesus said, I will build my church. And how he was going to build it was not come. The way he was building it was through his people to go.
Yes.
To go. That you and I are to go into our world. And so we are learning through Zealots, what does that look like? Second thread that is this, is we were called in Genesis chapter 12 to bless and to give. That Abraham, the whole world's going to be blessed because of you. So you know what our call is? Our call is to bless and to give. What would our world look like instead of being critical and judgmental, that we would be people who bless other people? And you see in the life of Jesus, Jesus is calling out of people, people who are mucking up. Jesus says, I don't see that. Here's what I see. I see you are this. And he would draw people to himself by blessing. So we are called to be people who bless and to give. The third thing, the thread is this. We are to be flowing. John chapter 5. Jesus said, I only do what my Father tells me to do. I only say what my Father tells me to say. So when we learn to recognize the Father's voice in every encounter we have, that the Father might want to say something to that person of bringing life to them. I am having so much fun in my life because I am doing this so much more than I did before. It is great to watch people's eyes get the light bulb go ding when they see that God has something to say to them. During this weekend, we give opportunity for people to prophesy, and it is a prophetic thing. It's prophetic. People are prophesying into each other's lives. It was wonderful. And I think for some, it might have been the first time they've done that. But it was beautiful to watch how the gift of prophecy, what is edification, encouragement, exhortation. It was great to watch people prophesy into other people's lives. Here's the fourth thing. We are to love and to be known. And this is John chapter 4, where Jesus finds the woman at the well, and he knows her life, and he loves her out of that life into the life of Christ. So these transcendent threads are four things. We are free to go. We are to be a people who flow. We are to be people who bless and give, and we are to be a people who know and love. How do we do this? Right now, what we're doing is we're taking a small amount of people. We had 5 our first course, 6 our second. And this is brand new stuff for our churches. This is brand new. We have people from Hope coming. We have people from Valley coming. And what are we doing is we're gathering together in a small group, and we're sharing life. And there's 4 things that happens. Let me share that, and then we're going to be done. Number one, the first time we start understanding our destiny. That God really has a destiny for your life, no matter how young or how old you are. God's got a destiny for your life. God will use, and he does, he redeems everything in our life for his purposes. So, one thing that all of us in this room have in common, one thing that's in common, we all understand pain. Every one of us has gone through pain. If you have never gone through pain, raise your hand. Good, I didn't want to call you out as a liar. Everyone understands pain. God, your pain, when God heals it, is your platform to reach people. Everybody knows pain. They don't know how to get out of it. And we are the most medicated country in the world. We medicate. We Netflix it. We eat food. We watch movies. We go shopping. We find ways to medicate our pain. When God really wants to heal our pain, and how does he do that? John chapter 5 says this, confess your faults one to another that you be forgiven, that you might be healed. So as we tell story, we get to see God's thumbprint even in our pain. We get to understand that God has a destiny that he redeems everything that you might be well and help other people in their journey. Okay. Thank you. Secondly, freedom. God has called us to freedom. The first message he preached in Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me, right? And there's 2 things he calls freedom to, the captive and the prisoner. A captive is someone who is at the wrong place at the wrong time. A prisoner is who's done something wrong. And dear ones, we are all those people. We have been hurt and we have hurt. Jesus has come to give us freedom. So we learn how to walk in true freedom. Not just a concept, not just an idea. We learn how to really walk in freedom. Dear ones, I started this in February of 2017. This has been one of the most transformative things that have taken place in my life. Because it's not a program, it's not a seminar, it's not you take some material, look at it, and put it on a shelf. It's the way in which Christ has called us to live in our world to see our world changed. I am having so much fun because I know who I am. Right now, the clothes I wear is a pastor. But if I worked at Walmart, I would do the exact same thing because it's not what I do that makes me, it's who I am, who God's made me. And I want every person in our body of Christ, Pastor Jeff and I do, every person, I want you to know exactly who God made you to be in freedom. I want you to know your true identity. I want you to walk free from fear, free from anxiety, free from worry, free from stress. Do these things happen? Absolutely, but we don't have to live in them. Oh, man, I think I'm more excited than y'all are right now, but that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. I'm telling you, dear ones, it's a biblical discipleship for us to discover who we are. And also Ephesians chapter 4 says, to prepare the saints for the work of the ministry. This is one of the greatest tools I've ever found in my life to prepare the saints for what God's purpose is for them. And we're going to read that in closing. We're going to read that real quick in Ephesians chapter 4. So, and here's the fourth thing that we do. On Sunday afternoon, we have lunch. And then right after lunch, we take about 3 to 3.5 hours, and you get with God, just you and God. We give you this big piece of poster board, all the pins you want, and we ask God, God, what is my identifying word? What word or words will identify my heart? And then we begin to write out these words. And then we ask this act, it's called an activation plan. What are we going to do now that we understand who we are? What are steps that we can take, real steps, to who God wants us to be? What are some of the challenges? And then you present that to the group, and we get to once again speak into your life. Hey, we see this, we see this, we see this, we see this. Now, here are some challenges you might face in the process. Here's some adjustments you're going to make. But as you do that, dear ones, you actually have an action plan to move forward in your identity in Christ. I love that. One Wednesday night a month, the third Wednesday night of every month, we gather at our house. The zealots who've gone through it, we gather at our house and we just say, how are you doing? How's it going? How can we help you? How can we encourage you? Because, dear ones, this isn't a Pastor Jeff we. This is a we, not just to build a church, but to change the community we live in. And it's not going to happen by saying, we've got a great preacher, we've got some cool music, we got the best building in the valley. People don't care anymore. What they want to know is your relationship with God real? And there are people who are your family, your neighborhood, your work. And then you can say, hey, listen, man, we come to Echo Hills Drive if you want to come join us. But the key is not getting them in the building. The key is to get us into the world. And this works. I can give you testimony after testimony in my journey of me just flowing with the Father, speaking life into people. And the light bulb comes on. Why? Because truth sets free. It always sets free. So Pastor Jeff and I, we believe this is a component. That as we're talking about let's go, this is one of the areas that we are going in. Let's go. And if you're interested in discovering, hey man, what's my purpose? What is I'm about? I've got some things that I'm still bound by. Listen, I'll be honest with you, gags. My upbringing was based all in fear. And I've been a pastor for a long time, and a lot of my pastoral ministry, there was some real strong fear still there. So when we're singing, I'm no longer a slave to fear, I'm telling you, it's a lot of fun. Mike, do you have fearful situations? Absolutely, but I know how to handle them now. I know how to deal with them. I know how to walk in freedom. It is a lot of fun. I want y'all to know it. I mean, it is so much fun. I'm not in denial. I know what's going on. I know what's happening. I feel things deeply. I still got the stuff happening, but they don't control my motives. They don't control my decision-making process, because two things will motivate you, love or fear. Love lasts forever. Fear, you can get some stuff done, but it will not last forever. And Pastor Jeff and I, we're doing our very best to inform, tell you, here's next steps, here's where we're going, his role, my role, what are we doing, what's his gifting, what's my gifting. We're discovering this, and this next year, we're going to flesh it out. We would love for you guys to be a part of it. And so Zealots is our next weekend is March, the first Sunday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of March. That's our next gathering. It's going to be we keep it very small and intimate because we share life together. We really share life. Can I ask those who've gone through Zealots, could you just, if you agree with me, can you say amen?
Amen.
So worship team, would you come back up? Join with us. So let's go. What's our next step? These are one of our let's go steps, the zealots. Now, I'm going to look you right in the eye. There's a cost to this. Okay, there's a cost to this. There's a financial cost. There's a cost of your time. We buy materials. We buy food. We have lunch together. We buy gifts. So there's a cost to this. So you got to understand that we're not going to play. We're not going to mislead you. There is a cost. No one gets paid for this. No one gets any money for it. It all goes to help cost and also to help other people come. So there's a cost to it. But I'm telling you what, it's worth it. Because what I've discovered, if it doesn't cost you anything, you don't get anything out of it. But when it costs you something, you go, man, I'm in. So I want you to start praying. Right now, every other month, March, May, we're going to be doing this hopefully within the year or 2 years, we're going to have enough going on. I want to train trainers. I want other people to do this besides me. We've got some people who've got some great giftings that, man, other people can do this. So it's not just me. I want to train other people so we can have different opportunities. What if I work the weekend? Well, maybe we could do it on Wednesday night. I mean, this can go anywhere, dear ones, but we want you to understand this is part of us creating a culture that's going to change a community. Can I get about three more people to say that's right or amen?
Amen.
Amen? Okay, so it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Some. That's our role. It's not the only role, but it's just a role. What's our role? To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Listen to what Paul promises. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I'm in Ephesians 4. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So for too long, the body of Christ has looked like a mouth, and it's the person who's talking. The mouth's important, but boy, if you don't have an arm that can put food into that mouth doesn't work well. We need arms, legs, ears, nose, mouth. We need everybody. Because this community is going to change through the church. And we build a culture that loves the community and loves each other. So if you have any questions, I would love to talk to you about this. But we are committed to every part has a work. Well, what does that look like? We're going to train you how. Our job is to prepare. Okay? Stand to your feet, would you? We also have healing rooms. We've got Sozo. We've got other opportunities. If you want to learn how to pray for the sick, healing rooms will teach you. If you want to learn, I mean, we've got opportunities for us to learn, okay?